Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
The following is an at-will presentation.
My secret is that I change price tags from more expensive ones to cheaper ones when I go shopping.
I'm Ben Ham.
And I'm Dahlia Beta.
We're your hosts as we navigate the deep waters of humanity.
And listen to the stories no one ever tells.
You are entering the secret room.
When I was 12, I started masturbating. I didn't know what I was doing at first, only that it felt good. But after reading my strict conservative church's pamphlet on staying pure, the guilt set in. For 15 years after that, I was convinced that I wouldn't be able to have children, that I would be punished by God for what I did as a child. I hated myself for a long time because of what I thought was a lack of self-control. I now know that infertility is a common issue women experience, and that it has nothing to do with sin or punishment. But it took a long time to get there. And I've never told anyone about this before now. I wonder how many people have secrets that are kept hidden because of shame, guilt, and fear. My guest's secret isn't the same as mine, but her story is at the same time common and singular, public and personal. We can't really walk a mile in her shoes, but maybe, just for a minute, we can try them on.
About 15 years ago, I had a surprise pregnancy and I was in a new relationship and I chose to have an abortion.
Tell me about your life at that time. What were you like?
Well, I was in a pretty new relationship, maybe only 5 months old, with a guy that I had been interested in for about a year and a half. We were basically living together by the first month of dating. I was convinced that I had found the guy that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. I was working in a job that I liked. Everything was going pretty much according to plan and where I was hoping I would be in my life at some point. Things were really good.
You mentioned that growing up in the outskirts of Chicago, you had a pretty strict religious upbringing.
Yes. I was raised Catholic and grew up in a family with a cultural background that coincided with Catholicism very nicely. I went to Catholic school for a lot of years and spent every Sunday in church. In fact, when I was a child, I wanted to be a priest. And it wasn't until I got older and figured out that the Catholic Church didn't allow that, that I realized how, like, some of the flaws, that was one of the many flaws that I came to see.
So you were a good Catholic girl that had decided to move in with her boyfriend.
Right. And honestly, at the point that I was in my life, I had already lived with another guy. My parents knew I was sexually active because I was definitely an adult, completely self-sufficient at that point. So that wasn't a secret. And I kind of didn't follow the rhythm of keeping those things secret because I felt like that was my choice. And it should be my choice as an adult woman to do those things. We kind of had this way that we worked it out that they didn't really ask me too much and I didn't volunteer too much and it all kind of worked out.
then what happened? You're living with your boyfriend. You guys are getting really close.
Yeah, we're living together. Things were going great. You know, I never really kept track of my period that closely. We were using birth control. We were using condoms, but we weren't using them as they're prescribed to be used. Like before there's any sexual contact whatsoever, put the condom on and all that stuff. We were just like, okay, I guess it's time to put the condom on. We were like, well, we're going to get married someday, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not really sure in retrospect what the hell I was thinking, not using condoms the way they were supposed to be used. I think that led to me feeling some measure of guilt, at least for a little while, when I discovered that I was pregnant.
You felt like you didn't do your due diligence.
Exactly. And if I just had, I wouldn't be in this horrible situation that I was in.
Okay. How did you find out you got pregnant?
I just thought my period was late at first. I waited probably 5 weeks past my due period before I took a pregnancy test. And when I did, it was so positive. It was like the second the urine hit the stick, it turned pink or whatever it was supposed to do. It was like God was screaming at me like, oh, you are so pregnant, girl. Like, that's exactly what it felt like. There was no doubt.
How did that feel when you looked down and saw the stick? What was going through your mind?
I just had a completely visceral reaction. My whole body went cold. I always imagined that I would want to have kids, so it was very not what I would expect. My whole body went cold. I think I just kind of like sank to the bathroom floor. And I just started thinking, how am I going to tell my boyfriend? How am I going to tell my parents? What am I going to do? This relationship is so new. Am I going to keep it? Am I going to give it up for adoption? Those were like the earliest thoughts that I had.
Who did you talk to first?
I called my boyfriend right away. I think I told him over the phone, I'm pregnant and you need to come over right away. He was like, I'm leaving right this second. And when he got there, I just was curled up in a little ball crying hysterically. And he just came in and he wrapped his arms around me. He was upset, but he just kept saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But I didn't feel like anything was going to be okay. I knew that moment was a life-altering moment. No matter what decisions we made from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
Talk to me about the decision process at this point.
I talked to him about it. I talked to my roommate at the time about it, and I didn't tell anyone else. I really started thinking about what my life would be like if I had a baby with a guy I had been dating 5 months and a job that I hadn't been in that long. Like, what kind of life would I have? And the age that I was, and I was trying to calculate how old the baby would be at this point and how old I would be at, you know, different points in the baby's life. So I started thinking, okay, I don't want to keep the baby. I knew I've made that decision pretty quickly. Through it all, like through the whole decision process, my boyfriend was super supportive. He said, you know, ultimately the decision is totally yours. But that being said, whatever decision you make, I will be there to support you 100%. Which I knew even at the time was an amazing reaction to get from a guy. And then I know that that's not what a lot of women have at all. They have the opposite. I can't imagine how hard it would have been without that support, because it was ridiculously hard with that. So then I kind of narrowed it down to adoption or an abortion. The abortion topic, I'm pro-choice because I believe in every woman's right to choose, but I myself would never get an abortion. That was always my shtick with the whole abortion thing. So I kind of felt that I was betraying something I had said for years by making that choice. In addition, I knew if I made that choice, this was a secret I would have to take to my grave, basically, and never be able to tell most of the people in my life who were all Catholic in my family and all of my friends who were Catholic. People I would meet in the future would judge me because of this, or maybe not want to be my friend as a result. And the adoption thing, it's funny. I initially thought, oh, it's so clear. I'll just carry the baby for 9 months and put it up for adoption. But the idea of carrying a baby for 9 months and then having my offspring out there in the world being cared for or not cared for or treated well or abused or whatever by some other human beings was completely intolerable to me.
Describe the day you went to do the procedure. What happened?
I went to my gynecologist. She couldn't do it. So she recommended Planned Parenthood. It seemed so foreign to me. The idea of going to a clinic, I was like picturing women who had been raped or women who were like, you know, didn't have an income at all and couldn't afford, or like 12-year-old girls trying to get birth control pills. I had this whole story concocted in my head about the kind of person that goes to a Planned Parenthood clinic. And then I realized it was me. It was women like me, and women like all different kinds of women go for different reasons. So that was kind of a little wake-up call. I honestly don't remember anything about before we parked the car, because I think I blacked it out. My boyfriend came with me, and we walked in, and they took my name. So they said, okay, just, you know, wait. And then they're like, okay, it's time to come in. So my boyfriend couldn't come in. I went in and they handed me a plastic bag. And they were like, okay, take off all your clothes and put this gown on. I remember saying, even my socks? And they said, yes, everything. And I thought it was really weird. So I went in like a little room and I took all my clothes off and I put the gown on and I put my clothes in a bag and I stepped out, and they directed me to another room where there was just a row of seats with women on it, on the seats, in gowns, like all of us, 25 of us. I don't even know how many there were. It was mind-numbing how many of us were there, all for the same purpose.
Did you make eye contact with any of them? Were they talking?
No, everyone was looking down. So I couldn't even tell you like the age or the race of any of the women that I was in there with, because I just was looking down. And I remember I was really cold and I was shaking. And I just kept thinking like, oh my God, this is the number of women having abortions within one like hour period. But this goes on all the day, like all day long. I had this like feeling like I was in a factory, like an abortion factory. It wasn't that the place was horrible. It was that the idea of the fact that that goes on horrified me. But I couldn't really put my finger on why, because I wanted to be there.
How long did it take from the time you entered the room with all the women until you got to go in?
I don't know. Maybe I was in there like 20, 25 minutes before they called my name. And I went in and they were like, okay, get up on the table. And I had a choice. Like I could stay awake or you could get knocked out. And when you get knocked out, it's like a very brief period that you're knocked out for, but it's enough that you're not alert. And I was like, no, I definitely don't want to be alert during the procedure. So they started like setting me up and I got on the table in the stirrups, which felt so weird. And the doctor, who was a man, was like, okay, I'm just going to do a pelvic exam. And he did. And he was like, I remember this was so weird. I was doing a lot of yoga at the time. And he was like, oh my God, I don't think I've ever felt such strong stomach muscles on a woman. And I was like, thanks. But like at the same time, I was like, what the fuck? Like so fucking weird that he would say that. But I guess it was just so like, whatever, run of the mill. This is what I do all day. Kind of, I was like, okay. So he said that. And then very shortly after I think it was a mask they put on my face, but it might've been an IV. I don't really remember. I think it's like a twilight anesthesia. I took a big breath and I like started counting back from 10 or whatever. And the next thing I knew, they're like, okay, honey, you're done. And I didn't feel physically any different at all. And this nurse like walked me over to a chair that had like a warm cloth on it. And then I was like, I'm really cold. So she like brought me a blanket. She's like, do you want a cup of tea? And it was like in a carafe and it was already sweetened with a lot of sugar. And I was like, yes, please. And they gave me a cup of tea. And I think I must have sat there and asked for like 6 cups of tea. I was like, when are they going to kick me out? Because I was so scared to like leave the room, but I was just so cozy sitting there drinking the tea. It was like this moment that is completely seared in my memory. And for literally years after that, I would drink like tea that I would boil with sugar and water, so that it would taste like really sweet, because it was like the most comforting feeling to have that. And then I went out. My boyfriend was like, are you okay? And I said, yes, I'm okay. I got in the car and I remember I was crying. I wasn't in any pain at all. I was crying. And he was like, why are you crying? And I was like, I don't know. because I think I was crying that I did it. I was crying from relief. I was crying because it was over, but I couldn't tell anyone. We went home. I remember curling up on the couch and just being like, I just don't want to do anything at all for like the rest of like the next few days. We had taken a few days off, like the next like 4 days. I don't want to do anything. He was like, okay. And that was it. I think I really instinctively realized that I needed to allow myself to mourn and at the same time just be in the moment of whatever I was feeling. My emotions were completely up and down during the pregnancy. Like I would cry at the drop of a hat. And I was pregnant for about 9 weeks. And I didn't think that you started feeling symptoms that early, but by like week two, I was already, my emotions were erratic. After the abortion, my symptoms, the nausea, the emotional up and down were like instantaneously gone. It was really bizarre to me that so suddenly it would just end and I didn't feel pregnant anymore. You know, I feel like at the end of a week, I was feeling myself again physically.
So your body was beginning to recover. How did you move on mentally?
I felt a little sad. Because I think it's a sad thing, even if it's what you want, no matter what got you there, you have to somehow knit it into the fabric of your life. But at first, you're not even sure how to do that. I went back to work. So did my boyfriend. And like a few weeks later, we were out to dinner. We were near a dog shelter. And I remember him saying, like, let's go check out the dogs. Like, we both love animals. So we went. And this one dog, I just saw him and I fell in love with him. And we were talking like, should we do this? I remember we were sitting and waiting, like trying to make our decision. And I burst into tears because I was like, how could I have just gotten an abortion, but now I'm okay to get a dog? It seems like I made like such a horrible decision. I'm a horrible person. Like if I could care for a dog, I could care for a kid. And he's like, I just feel like this will make you feel so much better. And he was right. It did. I bonded with that dog in such an amazing way. I actually never thought about it until now, how maybe that's part of the reason we bonded. I felt like that dog was my soulmate. And maybe this is why, you know, maybe I needed him in my life at that point. Anyway, we went on. Surprisingly, it didn't ruin our relationship. I thought it would. I could definitely see how that would be something that would wreck a relationship. But it didn't. Maybe, I don't know, a couple of years later, we got engaged. Then a couple of years after that, we got married. And then a couple of years after that, we decided that we wanted to try to have kids. And that was primarily my decision, because up until that point in our marriage, I was kind of on the fence about having kids. It's like, I don't really know if I ever want them. And we would joke around like, well, if we don't get pregnant within a year, we'll like buy a Porsche. To be honest, I felt like I knew a lot of women who were struggling with infertility. And I felt like there was a really good chance that given my age, I would probably struggle with some sort of infertility or at least trouble getting pregnant. Like it wouldn't be quick. And then on top of that, I definitely felt that because of what I did, the abortion, I wouldn't be able to get pregnant. And that would be my punishment. And I was like, well, if that's my punishment, then I have to take it because that's because I did this bad thing. There was this huge cognitive dissonance because I knew that I did the right thing for me at the time. And then I cognitively knew that it wasn't something that I was opposed to. And morally, I wasn't opposed to it. Yet, I also felt like there was some bigger picture scale that was weighing my decisions in life. And I had come up short and that I needed to repay somehow and that infertility would be that way.
Did you struggle to conceive?
No, we got pregnant within a month of starting to try. And then I was convinced I was gonna have a miscarriage because I thought, well, I got pregnant, so that's like the test, but now I'm gonna have a miscarriage. I didn't. I had like a very healthy initial sonogram, internal sonogram. I think that was at about 9 weeks. And then I began to have the occasional like visit where he would listen to her heartbeat. At 20 weeks, we found out it was a girl. I was so happy when I found out it was a girl because I really, really wanted a girl. We had her name picked out and everything.
Did you have any flashbacks? Did you have anything that reminded you of the first time or of that initial time when you hit 9 weeks? Did you have any reminders?
Once I got to 9 weeks and everything was okay, I was like, wow, I'm past the point of where I was. And then it actually like almost normalized the experience. I know some of these sites have like, your baby is now the size of a grape. Your baby is now the size of a cantaloupe. Like they compare it to fruit, which is like a really bizarre thing to me. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I always thought that was like a weird thing. And I realized how tiny the baby that I had aborted had been because I was reading all the books and doing all the stuff. And I realized when I had my 20-week appointment, they showed me her heart. And I could see the four chambers of her heart, and I could see the blood flowing in the proper direction. And it wasn't really until that moment that I felt like there was a life inside of me. So I kind of think it made me feel better about the abortion. Like I almost was able to say, oh, that wasn't really a life at that point, which I know is the big argument. But after having an abortion and having a full pregnancy, I don't feel like it was a life at that point.
So did everything go smoothly with having your daughter?
Not exactly, but smooth enough. I had to have an emergency C-section, basically, 6 weeks early. They did the C-section. She came out. She was tiny, but not too tiny. She was breathing on her own perfectly well. So they took her to the NICU. I had to visit her in the NICU. That was rough. But again, nowhere near as rough as it was for some of the other moms that I met during that time. And then right before I left, I wasn't feeling well or something. And the nurse came in and I was like, I just don't feel right. So I just ran some tests. It turned out that I had a heart condition that hadn't previously been there. And they told me that there was like a 30% chance that I was going to die within like the first year of the baby's life. And then like a 60% chance that I would survive, but they couldn't predict like how well I would recover or in what category of women I would be in because they didn't have any predictable factors for this illness. In the long run, it turned out that I was very lucky to be in the 1/3 of women who completely recover. But I was told by my cardiologist that if I ever got pregnant again, there was at least a 1 in 10 chance of me dying. Pretty quickly, I decided that I wanted to have my tubes tied. I kind of did it all before I could change my mind. And then I was sad. And then I started thinking, if I hadn't had the abortion, none of this would have happened. And it was like, this was the punishment. Like the other shoe dropped. Oh, I was allowed to have a child, but now I can't have any more. And that's because I had the abortion.
And do you feel like it's the, you know, your religious upbringing or like that that guilt that's stuck with you?
Yes, I completely think it's my religious upbringing because I didn't have any other framework that would provide that kind of guilt because I actually really more than ever believed in the decision that I had made. You know, I thought a lot about how if I had had the baby, my boyfriend and I would have never stayed together. I think it would have been too stressful. And so if my boyfriend and I had never stayed together, I would have never had this child.
Theoretically, if you had kept the first pregnancy, you could have developed the heart condition then.
And if I had developed it then, I definitely wouldn't have had my daughter. But I would have never known, but it doesn't matter because I know now. And the thought of that is like devastating.
You mentioned earlier on in our interview that your mom does not know.
Correct.
Do you think she'll ever know? What are you still taking the secret to the grave?
Now, I don't know. That's a really good question. I feel like I want to tell her, but I feel almost like it's an affair. Like I imagine I've never had an affair, but when you have an affair, I think that if you want to tell your spouse or your significant other, it's probably because you feel really guilty and you feel like if you tell them, it'll sort of lance the wound.
Right. You feel like it might be a selfish thing for you wanting to tell her.
Yeah. And it'll take what's an excellent relationship. We really have an excellent relationship and it'll create a rift. My mom is not so religious anymore, but she's extremely pro-life. Like it's so, so important to her. And I feel like she would never look at me the same again if she knew.
Does it ever come up with your husband or your roommate or anybody that knew?
With my husband, I look back and I sometimes think maybe he's not, like maybe he has some regrets about the decision and maybe he didn't really feel like it was his decision to make. So he didn't get to really give input, which was really selfless of him and wonderful, but he might still feel regret. But I'm always a little bit afraid to ask that question.
So you don't talk about it?
I sometimes think we should, but we don't.
Moving forward, do you feel like this secret you hold is going to affect your life forever?
Well, I think, you know, the second I saw on your website that I had to add a secret, I knew what secret I was going to tell. So obviously, to me, there is a part of me that wants to tell this story. So I think that it has affected me for the rest of my life, but mostly in really positive ways. I think it's given me like a large sense of compassion for women who go through this. And it's made me realize like what a very difficult decision. Well, like now, if I got pregnant again, I would want to have an abortion because my life would be at risk. But then I would be wondering if I was that woman who just kept having abortions. Like that's a whole category now that I'd be sticking myself in. And somehow when you stick yourself or you think about sticking yourself in a category, it's sort of like, dissipates all of these beliefs that you have about those people that do that thing. Like women who've had multiple abortions are no longer people that I judge. I just kind of go, okay, that's their life. That's the path that they're taking for whatever reasons they have. It's really changed my perspective on sexuality and how we view women's sexuality. And now that I have a daughter, I've often thought that I would definitely want to have a kind of relationship with her that if she got pregnant, she could come to me and tell me, and I could help stand by her if she had to make the same decision. I wish I had had someone who had shared their experience with me prior to me becoming pregnant, because I feel like I would have been able to then go to them for advice. I think that's part of the reason also why I'm telling this, even though people aren't going to know who I am. Maybe this will encourage me a little bit to share my story with some people.
Right. And maybe someone who is listening to The Secret Room today will hear your story and maybe feel a little more comfortable about their decision, whatever it may be. I mean, I think that that's the best outcome, really, for you. That was your choice. And for someone else, they might have made a completely different choice. And for women, I feel like we get imposed upon in a way by society and by the media and by religion. And it's hard for women to just be able to say, this is who I am. This is what I want. It's hard.
I think my message to anyone who goes through this or has gone through it would be that even though it's hard to follow your gut because you don't really know what it is at the time, whatever decision you make is going to be the right decision for you. And it's okay. It's okay if 1,000 people that you talk to made a different decision than you made. It doesn't matter. It's your decision.
So the point of this interview isn't to try and change your mind about abortion or shape policy. Your opinion is as valid as mine or Jennifer's. The point is that we're all likely to find ourselves making at least one difficult or moral or ethical decision in our lives. Like sending our parents to a nursing home, putting a dog to sleep when we can't afford medication, cutting ties with a friend over addiction. It often feels like we make these decisions in a vacuum. But in The Secret Room, we start to realize how many of our own secrets are everybody's secrets. It's kind of funny how much I struggled to say my secret out loud today. It was embarrassing. And I don't believe it at all anymore, but it's still terrifying. Sometimes someone else saying a secret is enough to help you deal with your own. Jennifer and I both held our secrets for 15 years. And I wouldn't have had the strength to share my secret until I heard Jennifer share hers. I know this sounds cheesy, but I wonder how much hate, how much violence, and how many internet trolls could be silenced if we just listened.
Next week, we talk to Zoe. She's a student studying to be a pediatric neurosurgeon. She's got a 4.0 average, and she speaks three languages. But she's got one secret she doesn't share with many people. She wanted to open up her world in the secret room.
I have schizophrenia, and I've been hearing hallucinations for 2 years.
She tells us about the voices she's heard, where they came from, how she interacts with them, and how they've affected her life.
Yeah, he took my virginity. He's called me an ape, he's called me Pithecus, he's called me everything except the N-word.
A look inside one woman's life with schizophrenia. Next time, in The Secret Room.
Hey everybody, thanks for downloading our show this week.
The music in today's epi is by Breakmaster Cylinder and by Clay ID, an awesome composer we met on SoundCloud.
Thanks to our contributors who provide the street secrets at the top of the show and the great interviews you hear each week.
If you want to share a secret, and I know you do, leave an anonymous voicemail at 929-265-TSRP.
You don't have to use your name or location. We always use pseudonyms in The Secret Room.
You can find us on Twitter, where we occasionally post about the show and more often post about random things. Find The Secret Room on Twitter at TSR Podcast.
Until next week, pod on.
Pod on.
Pod on.